Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry, Northfield, Vermont. We have gathered to praise the Lord and fellowship and hear His word. Let's start by praising Him.
Blessing and honor. Blessing and honor. Glory and power. Unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days. Your kingdom shall reign over all the earth. Sing to the Ancient of Days. For none can compare to your matchless work. Sing to the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away, O Ancient of Days.
Your kingdom.
Days. For none can compare to your matchless work. Sing unto the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God. And your kingdom shall not pass away.
Lift him higher than he's ever.
Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna to the King.
Well, good morning, everyone. So, you know, it's been an interesting few weeks for Karen and I. For those who don't know, we drove down to Georgia with a load of stuff, and I did a marathon run with Scott and James, or Scott Bishop and James, to Texas and back. And, you know, there's nothing like, you know, four straight days in a truck or two straight days there and, you know, went back. And, you know, it's interesting because one thing that the Lord has shown me, and hope, man, it's what I'm going to go here. You know, it talks about the Lord shining a light, you know, that his light is really what, nothing hides from that light. And part of the thing the Lord revealed to me while I was there is, you know, we talk about fellowship. You know, we talk about it's important to have fellowship with others in the body. And, you know, I kind of think about that and go, why is it important to have fellowship with others in the body? It's important to have fellowship with others in the body because that light from the others helps shine into you to help reveal that darkness. Now, if I'm out in the world and, you know, I'm dealing with people out in the world, they have no light. So anything that I have in darkness hidden within me really never gets revealed, never really gets brought out. But I know for myself, spending 36 hours in a truck, you know, and one way, and 36 hours in the back, and, you know, the 3 days we were there, what happens is that their light that is in them helps shine in me, or shines upon me, and exposes
issues.
Well, yes, shows me for who I am. Okay, now praise God, it also works the other way, I believe. So anyway, I'm going to go to 1 John, and I will chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, I just bring this up because, I mean, when you look at Jesus, when Jesus came into the world, what did he do? When Jesus came as a man upon this earth, what did he do? He brought the light. He brought the light to the people of Israel to show them that they were in error. And as John was one of his chief disciples or apostles, I mean, he's one, Yeah. I mean, he was one of the few that you heard of regularly within the Gospels. As the Lord Jesus Christ came in and showed them what the light meant, John then received that light, and that light in him then showed others what it meant to walk in that light. Now, I know when we go back to ourselves, as we receive the Lord, we receive that light. And going back to what I said earlier, you know, it's interesting when you're in the body. When you're in the body, and I say the body, I mean the true body of Christ, not just saying you go to church. When you're in the true body, because I have received that light, and others in that body have received that light, the Lord uses that light to expose the darknesses of our hearts. And I know that as I spent these last 2 weeks on the road with others in the body, the Lord really showed me where my heart was in many ways. Now, I don't know about you, when I see that, when I get seen that, I usually go, because it's not pleasant. It's not pleasant because he shows me for who I am. Now, I'm grateful because once he shows me for who I am, I have two options. I have the option to go to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Change me. I want to let it go. Set me free of this. Or I have the other choice of, oh well, and run back into that darkness. I'm sorry?
Justify yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that what is happening with us and what the Lord is moving on us, it says he brings us into the body of Christ, these things are going to be shown, not only to me, but to everyone within the body. The Lord is going to show you what is going on. And the reason that that is happening is that in order to be in unison with the body or with him, we have to let go of these things that are in darkness within us. And I know that I struggle with it, and I personally have held on to it since I accepted the Lord, and it'll be 35 years in September. There's a lot of things I've chosen to hang on to. But it's time for me to let go of those things. It's time for me to let go of those things so that light that is within me that the Lord has given can shine brighter. And it can help others. You know, I know, like I said, I'm sitting here in this truck for 36 hours, or, you know, 5 days or 6 days, how long it was in the whole time, what the Lord showed me in many ways was, well, what the Lord showed me was not pretty. But because he loves me, he shows me those things. But it is up to me to take those things and to take that light and to take what the Lord has shown me and be willing to go to him and give it up. You know, there's a shaking going on. There's a shaking going on, and I see it within me. I know there's a shaking going on within others. We have to be willing to get rid of those things that block us or prevent that light from shining in us and shining upon those dark spots within us so that we can look at them and get rid of them and be free. That's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. He showed men for who they really are. And those of his disciples and apostles and those who were faithful to that, what he was shown, has come down to us. We have to be willing to do the same. It's not easy, because it involves dying to ourselves.
You guys can turn to 1 John chapter 4, as we're going to go over there. That's 1 John, yeah. Same place Charlie was over in chapter 4. Nope. We'll go with... I'll get there. Not verse 1, a few verses down. But what I want to take a step back here. Last week, I was in Colossians 3, I believe it was, and we were talking about putting on and putting off, if you remember. And putting on and putting off things takes effort. It's an act of your will. It's actually a part of when the scripture says to love the Lord thy God with all thy strength. It's actually referring to your will. All right? And putting, one of the ways you strengthen yourself in your will to love God is by putting off and putting on. Now, mind you, in looking at putting off and putting on, I want you to understand a thing. That's not something God does for you. You can sit around and pray for 35 years for God to put something off you and to put something on you, and you'll never get it done. In fact, what'll happen is you'll get worse and worse and worse and more miserable and more angry and more upset and more justified in yourself as you stand there believing you have done all. And it all comes down to you missed one thing. You haven't done anything because you haven't done what he said. Now, before we go to 1 John 4, I want to go back to Colossians 3 where we were last week. And I just want to highlight what those things were that we were to put on and put off for a moment. All right, let's look at the put off for a moment here. Put off, verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another. Right? Put off these things, anger. Now let's contrast those with the things we are supposed to put on. Bowels of mercies. This is verse 12. Bowels of mercies. You know when mercy comes, when you have to put on mercy? It means somebody did you wrong. Which usually makes you what?
Angry.
Bowels of mercies is where to put off the anger and to put on in its place bowels of mercies. All right? Goes on and it says, Kindness. Now, what always strikes me about kindness is that what happens with kindness is that basically to be kind to another person, you really have to put yourself in the other person's shoes. You have to be able to see things from the other person's perspective. And when you can see things from the other person's perspective, now you can show them kindness. For example, let me just give you an example of another person's perspective. Many of the things that people do that anger you and make you frustrated with them and want to see bad things happen to them, which is wrath. Many of those things, you know what the person who's doing them is? Blissfully ignorant that they even have such an issue or have done you any harm whatsoever. Which makes you only more angry! Because now, what are you supposed to do about it? Is right. You know, you have that moment. But kindness does good unto them anyways. I hear Jeannie going. She's got the ministry over here. This just angers me.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I want to hit on these things is because, see, that moment is why we don't put it on and why we don't put the other off. You follow what I'm saying? That's why we don't do these things. I had an extended moment some years ago, and it happens regularly in different ways, but there was one that was really critical for me, which was about 6 weeks. What's going on here, guys?
There's a feedback or humming going on.
You're fine. It's just there's a hum.
Okay. 6 weeks of punching the air for 45 minutes a night with all my might to work out my fury. Utter fury at seeking to do that which God would have me do with a brother who I did not see as deserving of me doing that. Now notice, I said brother. I didn't say stranger, you know, person outside of the body. I'm talking about a brother whose troubles and situation had me in such a state of fury that when the Lord showed me what I had to do, which in this instance was to not only submit myself unto him, but to pray and desire for him to get it right so I could submit myself unto him for the rest of my life. Not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, but for my entire life. And it was hard for me to do that because he was not standing in the authority he had. He was not walking in it. And as a consequence, it was very hard for me to want to do that. And the fact of the matter was, it wasn't until I did that that the Lord would let me move on to the next thing that he had for me. So for 6 weeks, it literally took me every single night walking out, no matter what the weather was, and punching the air with all my might and just utter fury at the very idea of being able to do this. And finally, after 6 weeks of that, or however long it was, I don't remember the specific time, I was able to. But that's what I had to do every night just to go to bed. Okay, just to be able to go to bed, I had to do that every single night. All right, because I was putting off wrath. I was putting off these things and putting on in its place kindness and love. So that was a huge moment, if you will, Jeannie, that went on for an extended, prolonged period of time. And honestly, if you look at us before the Lord, how many moments do you think the Lord has with us? I mean, just think about it for a moment. I mean, countless. I mean, that was a very brief snippet of time, a very small matter. relative to what he has to do just with me. And so I share that with you because the concept of putting on the one and putting off the other, I'll tell you what, you generally don't like it. You generally hate it with a passion to actually do these things because none of it justifies you. All of it requires you to humble yourself and to not justify yourself and to stop finding fault in and instead begin recognizing what the Lord has in this for you. All right? Which we tend to want to find. See, that whole thing was not about him. That entire thing was about me. You follow what I'm saying? My frustration was not about him. It was about me. And I'm not justifying him in what he did. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, the entire reason that came up was for my growth in Christ. It was all for my growth in Christ. It was all for my good, not for my ill. But the things that Christ is trying to build up in us are things that are of the inner man, not of the outer man. And the inner man here, and I'm going to turn to it in a moment. Let me just finish here with verse 12. I mean, verse 13 here in Colossians, where he says, the next things are put on humbleness of mind. That's something you put on. Humbleness of mind does not come naturally to any individual who's ever walked the face of this earth. It does not come naturally. It is an unnatural event and decision at every level. Because it is a decision to not justify yourself in anything against anyone, no matter what it is they have done. No matter what it is. And that's hard because people do wrong things all the time. And as long as you're in the place of finding fault with them and justifying yourself, you are hanging on to the things you're supposed to be putting off and refusing to put on the things you're supposed to be putting on. As long as that's where you're at. And it goes, meekness. Now, meekness is another one. Charlie was talking here about how the Lord was using the light in his brothers to show him things. And it was a good message. And it's the truth. It happens. And the fact of the matter is he was not seeing things that were pleasant to him. It wasn't all peaches and cream, you know what I'm saying? He was seeing things about himself that were not pleasing. Which, you know what that develops in you if you will receive it? Is meekness. And the meekness that develops in you, if you will receive it, is it develops a recognition of your total dependence on Christ. Your total dependence on Christ, where you recognize that of yourself you can do no good thing but by Him. That's where Moses was, and he was called meek above all men on the earth. When God was ready to use Moses in a mighty way, Moses, who was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt, Moses, who was mighty in words, it says over in Hebrews, mighty in words. When God was ready to use him at the age of 80, so Michael, you're not quite there yet. When he had finally gotten him to the place where he was ready to use him, Moses' response is, I'm a man of slow speech. Right? He saw himself as in no way qualified. And God was like, you're just whom I'm looking for. See, what generally motivates us to act is our own belief in ourself. And what's the mantra in the world? Believe in yourself. That's a false doctrine. It's a lie out of the pits of hell. But it's what's heard everywhere, from children's programming and education and from their animated things, on up through the things that the successful people in the world all preach. You know? You got to believe in yourself. You got to make your dreams come true. You got to do all of these different things. Nah. Would we sing a song, "I am not my own, I was bought with a price," right? Well, if you are a Christian, you've been bought with a price and you are not your own. You're another's property now, and your property owner's name is Jesus. That's why you call him Lord. Lord means he's your boss. He decides what you're going to do, not you yourself. Now, don't get me wrong, you decide in the sense of choosing to agree with him, but you lay it all down. Every idea you had, I can tell you, my life as a believer is not at all what my childhood dreams were. Let me just tell you, and nor my dreams when I was 25. None of them had anything to do with being in Northfield Falls, Vermont here today with you guys, let me tell you. I had far more exalted visions, all the way from youth up. I mean, they changed from being like Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle. I mean, I didn't look like Willie Mays, but, to being a great baseball player, to being something else, to what have you. But they were all things in the world. All the wonderful things Steve was going to do and be in the world. All right. Now, one of the things the Lord worked with me on very early in coming to him was a recognition that I had to give up all of that, end of story, nothing left of it, put down, let it break, think of a bull in a china shop, all this fine, beautiful china everywhere, of all these wonderful little dreams and all these things you're going to do, set the bowl loose, break it all, let it all be shattered like Humpty Dumpty, so not a single element of it has any place anymore. And I share it with you from that perspective, not from the perspective that the Lord does not end up making use of things that may have been in your heart and stuff like that. I mean, I can tell you, I mean, in fact, my wife and my children are a perfect example of that. I gave it up and the Lord gave it to me. All right? When he gave it to me, I had already determined I was giving it up. That's why when he gave it to me, I thought the devil was coming after me, and I spent days walking up through the covered bridges here rebuking Satan at the name of Megan, because I thought, obviously this can't be of God that I would have any thoughts for this woman. But then it just kept being there, and the Lord showed me that, hey man, you can rebuke the devil and he'll get out of town all day long, but you can't rebuke me. Now, are you going to reject this or are you going to accept it? This is your moment. You know, this is actually of me. This is your moment. Are you going to receive that which I'm seeking to give you, or are you going to cast it off? And I can tell you, if you had looked at me in my life before and everything, in my natural guy, kind of like Megan towards me and her natural female, in my natural guy, I would have never married Megan. I would have not even noticed Megan, just so you know. She would have not even been a person I would have noticed. And I probably would have been a person she noticed with the idea that not wanting to be around. So she would have noticed me because I was just too boisterous and every other thing to have gone completely unnoticed in the midst. So she wouldn't have noticed me in a good way. She would have noticed me in a bad way. But I share it with you from this perspective. Do you really believe that God, as a loving Father, knows you better than yourself? Okay, if you believe that God, as a loving Father, not only knows you better than you yourself, but is also good and desires good things for you, then you will gladly give up your life to Him. You will gladly yield unto Him. And it's amazing what He gives you back in return. It's an amazing life. It's a life that exceeds anything you can have in the world. But that whole thing of meekness that gets worked comes from that realizing who you are. And when it comes over here then to long-suffering, that's bearing with one another in different situations. In other words, once again, the way the light of God shines in us from our brother is not in some beautiful, rose-smelling way, but usually it's in a pile of dung. And the pile of dung shows us about ourselves, because we realize when we see the pile of dung that our brother has left for us, what are we usually? Pissed off at our brother and not liking him very much. Thinking very low of our brother or sister, for that matter, and what they have done. And the idea of being long-suffering towards them is far from our mind. We're way too freaking justified for long-suffering, because that person obviously doesn't deserve it. Do you see what I mean about putting off? Putting off and putting on is a process that your flesh will scream at with all its might. Think of the worst horror flick you ever saw, where you have the chick who screams and you're just like, oh my God, just covering your ears. That's your flesh's response to this. Now, with that, let's turn to 1 John 4. And I want you to understand, as we turn here to 1 John 4, over in 2 Timothy 3, and I encourage you to go take a look at it. I don't think we'll go over there today, but maybe we'll see. In 2 Timothy 3, it talks about, in the latter days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. All right? And what I want you to understand is that, see, one of the big problems we have in America today, and we have in the church today, okay, we have in the church today, people actually think they are walking in love, and they have no idea that they don't even know what love of God is. Right? The things I just went through with you are things about the love of God. All right, and what it's like to choose to walk in that. All right, the reason why the church is filled with self-esteem and believing it's something when it is nothing. That's the state that says, that's the perilous times that shall come. My wife was asking me as we were driving yesterday, she was talking to me about, if God destroyed two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah, for that which our Supreme Court now says, every place in the United States you have to accept, that is gay marriage, essentially. If they now say that that's something we have to accept in every state of this nation, it is not going to look good for this nation going forward, is it? And yet, where are we in this nation? So was Lot. So I share this with you from the perspective. What did they want to do with the angels of God that came in there? They wanted to have homosexual acts with them. Right? They wanted to know them, as it said over there. And what do you see about homosexuality, for example? You see it's like, it's virulent, kind of like radical Islam is virulent. It's like a virus that spreads. Okay, it spreads, and it spreads like wildfire. I mean, they're not satisfied with being able to do what they want to do somewhere else. They want to slam it down your throat, your children's throat, everybody's throat. You must accept this. You must be fine with this. We don't have to be fine with anything about what you stand for, but you have to be fine with what we stand for. And if you speak anything against it, we will come after you. You will be a target. We will come to your church. We will come to these places. We will bring lawsuits against you. We will seek to put you down, shut you up, and end you. That's what they do. That's what they do. So welcome to the new America, folks. Now, over here, it says, beginning with verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Look at that. We sang a song, Lift Jesus Higher. You want to lift Jesus higher? You walk in love. How is anyone, from the homosexual to the radical Islam person to the neighbor next door, how is anybody to know the love of God unless you are willing to show it to them? It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just show up in the ether and people all of a sudden spring up and go, oh, God loves me. The world hides God's love. That's what the world does. It hides. It rubs out all the lines of God's love. It seeks to keep it from the people. And if we cannot walk in that love of God, how can anybody come to know it? We've been shown it. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Look at that. So did it have anything to do with us? Were we born bright, shining examples of love and loving God? Or do we come into this world selfish, self-centered? And it's all about us. It's evident. Anybody who's ever had a child knows that children think very little of adults. They think very much of themselves. I want to watch this movie. I want to do this thing. I want to do that. Now, how inconvenient it is, or whether you would have any interest in watching it at all or not, or any other thing, they could care less. It doesn't even show up on their radar screen. That's called selfishness, folks. It's nothing to rejoice over and call innocent. I mean, the innocence of the child is that they are blissfully ignorant of the fact that they're so selfish. Yes, they are ignorant of that. That they are ignorant of to a large extent, unless somebody shows them. And today, we've ended all showing them. We've ended all showing them, because to show them is mean. It makes them feel bad, you know, because they, you know, I thought it was a good idea, and you just told me it was a bad idea. I feel bad about that. You don't make me happy. And people go, oh no, Johnny, it's all right. It's not a bad idea. It's a horrid idea, Johnny. Get that thought right out of your mind. That thought gonna get you killed one day. Stop that. No, you can't say something like that. You need to say stuff like that. Why do you think America's grown up to be the country it is now? We've had a whole generation or two generations of people not saying stuff like that. But if you looked at that, verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now, when we look out here in the world, what do we see? If you want to look at it. You see sin everywhere, right? You see sinners. You see people who are justified in their sinfulness. Everywhere. We have everybody justifying everybody in their sinfulness. Everywhere. That's really what the Supreme Court decision is. Oh, we don't want to be considered bigoted or any other thing, so we'll justify. We don't really agree. It's never been a long history of against it, stuff like that. But, I mean, this is a new world, and we're broad-minded, and we see these things so, and everybody wants to be broad-minded. Nobody wants to be narrow-minded. Everybody wants to be accepted. And we think being accepted is love. Jesus, when He died on that cross, it wasn't because He was accepted, folks. He didn't die on the cross because everybody accepted Him. Paul didn't cause people to stone Him and imprison Him and chase Him down from town to town trying to kill Him and all of these other things because He was acceptable. He wasn't mean, but He told people the truth, and He showed people the love of God, and people wanted to kill him for it. So the thing is that it's not about any deservedness of anybody here. It's about the same love that God showed us, we have to show others. And we begin by learning to show it one to another. And then we take that which we learn by showing it one to another to those that are without. So this is kind of the nursery, if you will, of where we learn to play nice. So we can then go out into the world and walk in love. And he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So that whole thing of putting on and putting off that we are talking about here, that's the process whereby you get perfected in the love of God. See, that's that part of loving God with all our strength. And what happens is sometimes you're not going to have the strength to love him like that, or to love your brother like that. Well, you can ask the Lord to strengthen you. You can ask the Lord to strengthen your will to do his will. He'll do that. And that comes from the fact that you've already made the decision you want to do his will. And then you start going out to do his will and you find, oh my God, I don't like this. So what do? You say, Lord, please change what I like. Let me love this. Because your flesh freaking hates it. And you got to get over that. You got to get over it. You got to learn to love the things of the kingdom of God. And the most important thing in the kingdom of God to love is love itself. That's the most important thing. Everything else flows from that love. Everything flows from it. And so look, we can be pretty frustrating. When I ran Dog River Business Solutions, I remember in a meeting over there in Barrie one time, I had Charlie there, I think. I know your husband was there, even though he wasn't a part of it. Rick Baldwin was there, Ricky Utzler was there. We were having a meeting and they said to me, Steve, what would you do if you were back in New York? I said, I'd fire every last one of you and get some people who wanted to work in here. Now, do we ever have people here who seem to not really have a big itch to do some work, to do some labor, to do some things that might get you dirty and aren't all that pleasant to do and might get you hot and bothered and tired and a whole bunch of other things, and do things for people that you don't really think, you think they should be doing it for you rather than you doing it for them? Do we ever have people like that in this fellowship? Seems like that's all we get in this fellowship. Alright? So you guys aren't like bright, shining, perfect examples. I mean, don't get me wrong, I got John here and Michael who aren't, I'm really not referring to, but not because they don't fall into the very same category of what I'm talking about, but because I don't have the personal interaction and experience like I have with some of you guys on this. So I'm going to talk to the rest of you and include my children here, and the rest of you guys can listen on and see what applies here to you. But the fact of the matter is, what the Lord showed me when I was running Dog River, is every time I sought to go outside of those whom he had given me, about the entire business died, like in a week. I mean, it was like instantaneous death, execution of Dog River Business Solutions, going in the grave. And I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? Well, get rid of that person you hired. And use the people I've got. Absolutely, use the people you've got. Well, that freaking stinks because they don't seem to want to do what I can hire somebody to do. Tough. See, this is love one another. This is the kind of commitment. So when you guys go and you think of one another and you think, oh gosh, let me just get somebody else or whatever, the fact of the matter is, no, let's deal with one another. Let's be honest with one another. Let's pray and seek the Lord for how we can work with one another. And the fact of the matter is, as you do this, it's usually the things that really piss us off about one another that provoke us to prayer. You ever think about that? The soul searching you go through about something that somebody, one of your brothers does. I will say this. There's people in this fellowship who don't. They just walk around and say their brother's a jerk and justify themselves and stop growing. That's also a common thing I have seen in this fellowship. And then they get more and more bitter, more and more angry, more and more all these different things, and life gets worse and worse for them, and they feel that, why is all this happening to me? Because you're supposed to love your brother. And you hate him. And you don't like to see them succeed. Because you feel like you're more deserving of succeeding than them. Loving your brother is getting past yourself. And you're never going to get past yourself until you put off those things you're supposed to put on and put on those things you're supposed to put on. And he gives one another to practice the putting off and the putting on with. That's what he does. And as we do that, we grow in love. We see God work. And when we see God work, we then, at Dog River, for example, I found that there were places that the guys who worked thrive. It was a most notable miracle to me that there was any place that they could thrive. But Ricky and Charlie are living testimonies to the fact that they actually found places they could thrive. It was a notable miracle. I had no idea that I could find any place where these guys could possibly do something productive and make money. But they did! Hallelujah! But it only happened when I finally got past all the other stuff that related to me. And it came down in the form of one word from a brother in South Carolina who's since died. Unfortunately, I'm not confident he went to be with the Lord. But he said to Rick one day on a trip down there, when Rick was lamenting how hard it was for me to deal with you guys, Charlie. He was lamenting because Rick could see. He could see something of how hard it was for me to have to deal with you guys. And he said it to this man by the name of Mike Dill. He was pouring out his complaint on my behalf. And Mike Dill turned around and said to him, he said, well, that's like every workplace. You don't have a, it's not, it's, the problem is not with you guys, it's with your boss. Well, who was their boss? See, Rick could have kept this to himself, but no, Rick came and told me what Mike had to say. You know what Mike Dill said? No, I didn't want to hear that if he had said the problem's with these guys or gave me some little key, but he said, no, the problem's with your boss. Newsflash, not pleasant one, but an important one. And the guys ended up becoming profitable, and the business became profitable. And that's a tremendous blessing to have been a part of and to see. So I can tell you that the choice to walk in love, though, has its great rewards. Has its great rewards. But if anybody's going to stand here and tell you that you're going to feel good in the process or people are going to love you back in the process, let me just tell you, throw those ideas right out the window. I think I probably have one of the reputations of being one of the biggest jerks in the ministry amongst those who are here. There's my theme music now. But I share it with you from the perspective that you can't worry about what anybody else thinks of you and doing it. It has to be all about him. Amen.
We have a new song today, sung by Rebecca St. James. The words go, "If it weren't for you, Lord, I don't know where I'd be. I could fill the hours, but never fill the need. I would still be searching, looking for the truth, but I've found a new life that only comes from you. Everything I do, let it be in your name. Let it be for your glory. Everything I say, let it be in your name, because I want to please you in everything I do.
Everything I